Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm Scott Bauer.
This is Rewind, a look at this week in the Capitol. I want to thank Scott Bauer for filling in for JR. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Wasai was there. Let's take a look at what Wasai covered this week. Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate Mandela Barnes talks about health care and women's rights at a Capitol rally. The leader of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities warns failure to fix the dark store loopholes could raise property taxes on the average Wisconsin home by 8%. A mom at a Legislative Council Study Committee on Learning Disabilities talks about her child with dyslexia and the special problems. And finally, not to be missed, Foxconn Chairman Terry Goh reaffirms the company's commitment to Wisconsin. Wasai was there.
You look at the rate of child poverty here in the state of Wisconsin, it's a disturbing problem. You also look at the fact that women still don't earn the same pay as men in the state of Wisconsin. The legislature has failed to act. The governor has failed to act. But what you will have in a Tony Evers, Mandela Barnes administration is one that puts the rights of women forefront, right front and center. What you will have in the administration is one that cares about the economic security of women as well as the health security of women. It's sort of a race here in the Midwest to see who can be the most extreme, who can be the most dangerous. And it's a deadly game that has been played with women's lives, and it needs to end now.
Let's say that for whatever reason, these bills do not pass. What's it look like for homeowners 5, 6, 7 years out, Jerry?
An 8.5% tax increase on average. All the work the legislature has done to keep property taxes from going up will be for naught, because this becomes an automatic tax increase.
There are many misunderstandings about dyslexia. Those of us who have it in our family have come to understand what it means because we have researched it. We have heard many of these things. You're just expecting too much of your child. There's really no such thing as dyslexia. I myself heard that that he just wasn't trying hard enough. And I believed that. And so I took it upon myself to make sure my child tried harder. I was going to make sure he learned to read if it killed us, and it almost did. I can tell you that none of my efforts made the difference. In fact, nothing made the difference. My kid dropped out. So this is an important day.
I think our original commitment to the state of Wisconsin is 13,000 meaningful and creative jobs. That has not changed. With the $10 billion investment, that has not changed. Right? So any rumor of the fact that it's downsizing, it's just a misinterpretation of our phased approach to such a humongous project.
Scott, I want to talk about what, if in boxing terms, could be called the undercard of our three major sure. elections here. So much emphasis, so much special interest money, third-party ads on governor, U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. Attorney General is an important election. So let's just take a minute and look at the profiles of who's running. The incumbent, Brad Schimmel, 53. He was raised in Mukwonago, now lives in Waukesha. From 1990 to 2006, assistant Waukesha County DA. 2006, 2010, elected Waukesha County DA. 2014, elected Attorney General. And he plays in the band Four on the Floor. Guitar.
Yep.
Josh Call, fairly new, back to Wisconsin, although he was raised in Fond du Lac as the daughter of former Attorney General Peg Lautenschlager. He's 37. Law clerk for a chief U.S. Court of Appeals judge, assistant U.S. attorney in Baltimore. Worked on lawsuits against the photo ID law and other parts of the changes that the Republicans made. And he worked on Hillary Clinton's campaign for the 2016 statewide recount. Any thoughts on the basic bios here?
You covered the highlights. I think from the Democratic perspective, they look at Josh Call and they think he's got a good background for the race with having been a former prosecutor.
Yeah.
It's kind of an MO that fits well when you're running to be the top cop of the state, especially as a Democrat. And Schimmel's got the power of the incumbency. He's been there for 4 years. He's been he was a DA, which, you know, Call doesn't have. So they both have their strengths and weaknesses as in their biographies.
But Schimmel has told both of us, Josh Call has, quote, never prosecuted a case.
Right.
Anyway, so let's get to some of the issues here. First of all, the rape kit, the backlog in rape kits. Now, you have seen, you and I have seen press releases. I don't know if they're from One Wisconsin Now or other anti-Schimmel groups saying only 9 kits were tested in the first 2 years. That's a powerful number, but now talk about how Schimmel is trying to fix that as he ends his first term.
Right. So he's said repeatedly that all the kits will be tested by the end of the calendar year 2018. They farmed them out to private labs. There's been a lot of debate over whether it's correct to even call it a backlog, why some of these haven't been tested. You know, in some cases, the people involved can't be found, or they're not bringing charges, or the cases are essentially dead.
Right.
You know, there's a number of reasons to explain what's going on here, to attempt to explain what's going on here. Politically, though, it's a tough issue for him because you can run ads that talk about a rape kit backlog and throw up some numbers up there that are going to, at least in a 30-second spot, it's going to, you know, resonate with people, whereas digging into the weeds a little bit, it gets pretty complicated pretty quick.
Yeah, and when I go to the Schimmel campaign website and he talks about his long personal history, he says, I was surprised when I ran for attorney general to learn that there were 4,000 backlogs in the rape kit. So it's an issue that it's going to play a big role, I think, in this campaign.
Yeah, it could end up being the thing we talk about more than any other. I mean, that Josh Call would love that to be the case if we spent the whole campaign talking about an issue that he argues Brad Schimmel has failed to lead on.
Yeah, okay, but let's get to another point. How much interest will there be on Attorney General with so much drama, so much money focusing on U.S. Senate and Gov? Your thoughts?
There's a couple telling things on that point. So I'm sure you've talked on this show about the Marquette Law School poll.
Yes.
Charles Franklin has not asked about the Attorney General race. I haven't asked him why he hasn't asked, but typically he doesn't ask about races where he feels like the knowledge is going to be so low that the response rate is not going to be significant. That's why he doesn't poll on state Supreme Court races, for example. So he just put a poll out a couple weeks ago. Nothing on the AG's race in there.
No head-to-head.
No head-to-head. So we don't have anything public, at least, to tell us kind of where things are. We do have numbers in that poll on name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you pulled it up for Call. It was, what, 90-some percent?
Oh, yeah. Let's look at that right now. So in the Charles Franklin poll, unknowns, those respondents who say, I don't know of Mr. Schimmel or Mr. Call, I don't know, I have enough information. Let's start with Attorney General Schimmel. 57% of respondents don't know enough of Brad Schimmel or don't know of him. A stunning 92% gave the same answer for Democrat Josh Call. 92%. And we're, what, 2 months?
2 months out. I mean, to me, it's stunning, and it's not, really. I mean, he hasn't run a single ad. You know, the fact that he didn't have a primary opponent, so there was no primary for him. He's primarily, the best I can tell, he's been out there raising money and meeting with, you know, Democratic groups and kind of building the support he needs to run these final 2 months.
Right.
Maybe more surprising is Schimmel's number, given that he's been the AG for 4 years, and I don't know the partisan breakdown, but that includes, you know, obviously some Republicans who don't know enough about him to have an opinion.
Right.
But, you know, as you said, the Attorney General in terms of voter attention is far below governor and Senate. And even those races, sometimes when you go out and talk to voters, they don't have a real deep knowledge of what's going on for as much as we talk and write about those races. So let alone this one that is, you know, going to be really fighting for oxygen over the next 2 months, which is going to make, I think, that last period right before the election when all the ads are going to hit and people will start to tune in. I mean, that's going to be, for this race especially, the critical period, I think.
But if you're fundraising for either Schimmel or Call, and you call up and say, hey, I'm in a potentially competitive race, if there is a blue wave, a dem wave, send money, and they say, sorry, you're the third call today. I just heard from Governor Walker's campaign or Tony Evers' campaign or...
Right. Well, so here's the thing, and my colleague Todd Richmond wrote about this in a story recently. You know, the attorneys general nationwide are important this year for Democrats because they and Republicans, because that is in a lot of places where the front line is being fought on some of Donald Trump's policies.
Yes.
And so I think the fundraising pitch for probably both of them is that, you know, for Schimmel, it's to say, hey, look, I'm here, you know, filing these lawsuits and doing the legal work that needs to be done to take on leftover things from the Obama administration and to defend President Trump's policies. And Call will make the exact opposite argument, saying, I can get in there and stop these lawsuits that, you know, were filed against Obama era policies and not pursue the ones that, you know.
Just to elaborate that, Attorney General Schimmel got the legislature and the governor to create an office of Solicitor General. Mm-hmm. They filed, as you said, against the Affordable Care Act. They've had some results. There was a decision yesterday. We're getting back $18 million or something. Mm-hmm. But the extent of this new emphasis on suing against federal laws is going to be an issue that Mr. Call is going to raise.
Right. And Schimmel likes to talk about it, too.
Yeah.
Because the base eats that up.
He praises it. Yeah. Right. Praises it. Mm-hmm. Praises it. Well, what about the idea? Mr. Schimmel has made a centerpiece of his campaign the fight against opioids, methamphetamine, and heroin. He's really been out in front on that. However, some attorney generals have sued Big Pharma, and he hasn't. Mm-hmm. How big an issue do you think that's going to be?
You know, I'd like to see some polling data on where people, how people feel about that issue in terms of voting. Mm-hmm. It's obviously something that gets a lot of attention. A lot of communities are struggling, probably almost every community in the state is struggling to some degree with opioid, heroin abuse and all of that. Whether that motivates voters, I don't know that it does. I don't know that it doesn't. So I'm not sure Brad Schimmel talking about that is going to be something that gets somebody to the polls for him or against Call.
Finally, the 92% don't know, haven't heard of Josh Call. Now, this seems to me a double-edged sword. Call, if he gets the money, can come in and form a positive first impression for voters. But it also offers offers an opportunity to Schimmel campaign to define him in not so positive mm-hmm. way. Agree?
Right. And we do have the Republican Attorneys General Association is about to run a couple million dollars of ads. I have not seen what they're going to be, but odds are it'll be a mixture or maybe all negative on Call, a mixture of positive on Schimmel. But that's a lot of money in an attorney general race. So we'll see.
Well, how much emphasis can news organizations, press to cover U.S. Senate and governor, devote to attorney general?
Hopefully enough.
Our peers in the Capitol. Hopefully right. enough. That's a great answer. Okay, let's turn to a new subject. The governor had a ribbon-cutting ceremony in front of the zoo interchange, the east-west wing. So, first of all, before we talk about it, let's listen to the governor describe how he considers this to be on time and complete, at least this core project. The governor of the state of Wisconsin.
We've been proud of our 8 years to invest $24 billion into the state transportation system. That compares to $21 billion in the 8 years prior, so it's $3 billion more than we had previously. As a parent, county executive, and now as governor, it's wonderful to be here and to celebrate this, because this is important for the zoo, it's important for attractions, it's important for tourism, it's important for transportation, it's important for quality of life, it's important for healthcare. It's important not just for this region, but it's important statewide. You get folks bringing product from farms and factories from one end of the state to the other, go right through this interchange. Whether it's down to Chicago or up to Minnesota, you name it, they're coming through this area. So this is an important project for the entire state of Wisconsin, and we're absolutely thrilled to be able to celebrate its opening. I remember about 8-9 years ago when a lot of us were frustrated when things were happening that weren't on time, that weren't happening they were supposed to with this interchange, and it was really at the end of its lifespan. We got it going. I want to thank not only Secretary Ross and his team, but before him, Secretary Gottlieb, who started out on this, and all the folks who've worked not just during my administration, but long before this, to make this a success today. Congratulations on a job well done.
So here's what the governor said. The zoo interchange core completed on time and on budget, but there's a lot more to this story. Where do you want to start,
well,
my friend?
I think we should start with what exactly he's talking about. I mean, he's talking about one significant part of what you know, has generally been known as the Zoo Interchange Project.
Probably the busiest interchange in Wisconsin.
Right. But there are other parts that have, as long as I can remember, have always been included as part of the general reference when you talk about the zoo. You're not just talking about the part that he was there ribbon cutting. You're talking about the North Leg. You're talking about East West.
Yes.
You're talking about parts of this project that are not complete. There's no timeline for when they will be complete. There's no funding to complete them at this point.
Right.
And even the governor's spokeswoman said, you know, it's something we'll look at.
We'll look at the North Leg and other projects across the state as we head into the next state budget, as you said, from the governor's press secretary.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot. So the governor...
The core is done. I mean, the governor's correct. The core
And it's very nice, and you've
done.
Driven
it's
it. Yes.
Beautiful. But that's not the whole story.
Okay. So we have... Highway funding going to be, do you think, the most contentious issue in the next state budget?
It has been in the past two.
We've given the impasse. Yeah,
right.
Thanks.
You know, and that's why we were late on the budget last time, is the Republicans couldn't get together. It will be fascinating, no matter who is in charge, and if there's any change one way or the other, if Democrats happen to get a majority in the Senate, or if there happens to be a Democratic governor, or whatever the mix, it is going to be fascinating to see. It's one of the hardest problems to solve because it's so expensive, and it's just it's not easily solvable in the current confines of the budget.
And okay, but let's look in after the primary. Tony Evers says everything's on the table. Now, first of all, that's nice to say, but there are no specifics.
Right.
And then the governor's people say, well, Tony Evers wants to raise the gas tax by $100 million. Mm-hmm. I've never heard Mr. Evers say that. Have you?
No.
Okay. But when he says he's open to everything, yes.
He said he was open to a gas tax increase, which is part of everything.
Part of a package.
Right.
So then the governor says, I won't raise the gas tax unless there is an offset elsewhere.
Right.
So we haven't made any major projects, and I think that's summarized by Pat Goss of the Transportation Builders Association. The vital reconstruction of the north leg of the zoo interchange sits idle, and the east-west corridor, which links the Marquette and zoo interchanges, has been abandoned. So we have miles to go on this issue.
Well played.
Don't we? Yeah. Next subject, Scott. Did you go to the press conference with UW Chancellor Blank and Foxconn founder, CEO, Terry Goh?
Yep.
Okay. At that press conference, let's walk through the fine points before I get your impressions.
Sure.
But $100 million pledged for UW-Madison, First Institute, Foxconn Institute for Research in Science and Technology. UW-Madison must match that. Foxconn Cash will also help build a new UW-Madison Engineering Center. First main location, however, will be Foxconn's Racine County campus. Foxconn also promised $25 million from Milwaukee Area Business Consortium. Before I give you a chance to offer your thoughts on that, let's listen to some segment from this press conference, please.
This is an historic moment, not only for the University of Wisconsin and for Foxconn, but I hope for the entire state of Wisconsin. Today, Chairman Goh and I are going to sign a declaration of collaboration to create the largest industrial research partnership in the history of the University of Wisconsin. This is the type of work that accelerates discovery so that life-changing innovations move more quickly from the lab into the workplace, creating jobs and helping drive Wisconsin's economy.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a leader and will be a great partner. To further the partnership between Foxconn and the UW-Madison, I'm proud to announce the creation of Foxconn Institute. I'm proud to announce that Foxconn will commit $100 million to the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
A GOP member of Joint Finance yesterday, I did a candidate interview with him. He said, look, when we voted on the initial Foxconn deal, the tax breaks and the incentives, less than $3 billion, we didn't know that Foxconn was going to chip in $100 million to UW-Madison, was going to buy the NML building as its North American headquarters, was going to open innovation centers in Green Bay and Eau Claire. Political implications of Foxconn doubling down?
It all sounds great, right?
Yeah.
You know, $100 million gift to UW. The innovation centers you mentioned, but none of this will come to fruition before November. The $100 million pledge, the UW has 2 years to come up with its $100 million, which Chancellor Blank said that they will do.
Okay, but just I'm going to stop you on that. When the regents just approved their budget recommendation, they want $108 million more. That didn't include any
funds. No, this is all being privately raised. It's part of a larger effort to raise a substantial amount of money at UW. So this is, you know, think of it as a challenge grant. It's not dollar for dollar. It's not if you raise $50 million, we'll give you 50. It's like here's $100 million. You bring $100 million, and we'll have a $200 million effort. Okay. But voters aren't going to know whether that happened or not before November. Voters aren't going to know whether the Mount Pleasant main campus turns out the way Foxconn says it will. You heard Louis Wu reiterate again that they're committed to the jobs and the investment number, but the type of plant has changed from what they originally proposed and that the contract was written on. So Democrats say there's no way you can get to these job numbers the way the plant is going to be. The way you're talking about the plant now will not employ those number of people. It's all just to make the point that there are a lot of questions out there about what is going to happen, how much money is actually going to be at play here. None of the answers are going to be known before November.
Well, I want to ask you this question. Do you think a Governor Evers would tell Foxconn, don't invest $100 million in UW-Madison, don't open the Green Bay and Eau Claire Innovation Centers?
No. I mean, he among the eight Democrats who were on the ballot a couple weeks ago, he was the only one who didn't say who would promise to kill the Foxconn project. He said he would renegotiate the contract to get a better deal for taxpayers, which is a whole other question as to what could or couldn't be renegotiated. So it's not that he's out there beating the drum for Foxconn, but he's also not, it's not been as big of an issue for him as it has been for other Democrats.
It's a fascinating thing. Okay, meanwhile, three members of the Democratic National Committee come to Milwaukee. They are treated pretty well. It opened, I think, in the auditorium of the Fiserv Forum. They're going for the 2020 Democratic National Convention. What would that mean? 50,000 guests, delegates, and journalists, et cetera, from around the world. The event would be July 13th through 16, 2020. Milwaukee's a finalist with Houston and Miami. But Milwaukee civic groups would have to raise $70 million to get it. And the decision will come after the November elections for U.S. Senate and governor. The decisions will come in January. You think Milwaukee's odds go up if there's a Governor Evers and Senator Baldwin is reelected?
Maybe they should call Foxconn. I don't know. I'm sure that would help to have a Democrat at the top of the governor's office. There have been a number of jokes on Twitter about Democrats now finally coming to Wisconsin after Hillary Clinton did not campaign here.
So,
it's fascinating. I mean, it would be a huge economic boost, and not let alone all the attention that would come to Wisconsin if it hosted it. But we'll see.
Yeah, and then you have the statement from Mayor Barrett. We are here because Milwaukee is fighting back. The Midwest is important, and it has been some time since there has been a Midwest Democratic Convention. 1996 in Chicago, I think that was the last one. And then you have a member of the DNC team. It's a competitive process, and it's wide open. We're looking at three impressive finalist cities that bring their own unique character to the table. Look at who we're up against. Houston, recovering from the hurricane, and Miami, where you have had some very interesting conventions in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Neither one, or you and I are not going to predict that one.
No.
Finally, you have had now two former Walker cabinet secretaries endorse Tony Evers. And Ed Wall, former corrections secretary, where he worked at Department of Justice, DCI. And I just want to quote one sentence. Nothing moved this Walker administration on corrections issues. Actually, two sentences. I was disappointed that the governor had decided it was time to sacrifice me to change the Lincoln Hill story. A response from the Republican Party. Mr. Wall is a discredited state employee who was fired from DOJ after he secretly lobbied for a new job in the administration that asked the governor's then chief of staff to break the law and destroy public records. I've read Mr. Wall's book. It is self-published, which means you can basically say whatever you want. might be a little too self-serving. I don't know. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it.
I haven't read everything. I've read sections of it.
Okay. Then you have Peter Bildstein, who in 2011, when he was named Secretary of the Department of Financial Institutions, said, "Governor, I'm going to take so seriously your challenge to create 250,000 jobs that I'm going to get a tattoo on my shoulder." And the governor said, "Maybe you ought to get it on your forehead." He says in his Tony Evers ad, "I thought Scott Walker was different, but he's just another politician looking out for himself." And the governor's spokesperson, "Mr. Bildstein's comments reflect sour grapes because he was dismissed for opposing the governor's policies." How serious do voters care about this stuff?
You know, that is the question, right? Will this resonate with voters? Who knows? You can guarantee that you will see them, the ads out there with them talking about it. And maybe voters won't take the time to dig into the details, but it may resonate on the level of, oh, these guys, you know, you're against, something must be wrong. You're against your former boss for whatever reason. On the other hand, as you pointed out, the Walker folks have, you know, legitimate arguments to be made about why these two are speaking out and saying what they are, especially in Ed Wall's case, he was fired. So you have that whole element of a former employee speaking badly about their former boss.
Right.
So it just kind of adds to the whole, you know, just the what is this campaign all about, and how is Walker led, and would Tony Evers be a better choice? It just kind of adds to that conversation. I don't see these two being a major player.
However, one common theme in both their criticisms is they were told, "Don't put anything in records. We're not a fan of public records queries here."
They
so
both
that's,
say
that's
that
one
and
commonality.
And right, and the Walker administration denies that was presented the way that they say it was. So,
Okay. And interesting, this week, Wisconsin is now in a complete state of emergency because of the flooding. How's your basement?
Dry so far.
Okay, dry so far. I'm Steve Walters.
I'm Scott Bauer.
That's Rewind for August 31st. I want to thank Scott for sitting in for JR. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.